So, Judd, you're a combat veteran. What are your thoughts on all this?
Well, there's no conceivable way that Ukraine can prevail. None. There's no conceivable way. The so-called information that streams out of that situation doesn't stream out of the real situation. It's very refined and ceaseless propaganda. The number of Ukrainian troops that are dead could be anywhere from 200 to 300,000, with the equivalent ratio of wounded.
Yeah,
I cannot see any reason to send F-16s or F-35s there. None. Not at this point. Maybe that would have made a difference within the first couple weeks or so, but we haven't followed through on a whole lot of things that we said we were going to do or supposedly.
Well, I mean, had he built them up early on to where there would have been a true deterrent factor, one could argue. But even there, I mean, it seems like what you're getting into, and again, the lack of a peace plan on the part of, our guys, and again, we get back to corruption 101. Is there any doubt in anyone's mind that, given the nature of all the money that's going over there and the relationship that the Bidens had before to elements within Ukraine, that this money is not coming back to them? I mean, that's a supposition, but it's not unreasonable to think that there is this element of corruption that's still there. And I mean, Trump tried to get Zelensky to find out about it, and of course they impeached him over that. Of course, Joe Biden came back bragging about getting Shokin fired, and of course that's just, that's okay. That's just good old Joe playing hard politics. But I do think that element of corruption cannot be just factored away, given who's in charge. At the same time, though, you're left with, and I've said this before, what are some of the ways that you could conceivably think that this could be sorted out? Does it mean that Crimea has to be given back to Ukraine? Well, I mean, the Russians gave the Ukrainians Crimea in 1953 after Stalin died because of all the bad things that Stalin did and to kind of quell nationalist aspirations throughout, the Soviet Union. So, technically speaking, one could argue that Crimea never should have been given away. But you could also make the case that neither should have Ukraine. But nevertheless, Ukraine was an independent state. So what then becomes the basis for Russian speakers who want to be ruled by Russia in the Donbass region? What becomes the basis for them to have their self-determination, which I've mentioned before, is a long-held principle in international relations, self-determination of peoples. So if you're going to go down that road, then you're talking about having to dismember parts of Ukraine. Obviously, Zelensky doesn't want to do that, and I get that. But on the other hand, they've gone through these periods where they've been fighting ever since, really since 2014. You had the Minsk agreement in 1991 that basically denuclearized Ukraine, all to the good, but we promised them that we would be there to help them if there was a problem. Not in NATO, but you see, here again, this is where Clinton started to push for NATO affiliation. And we get this question about Ukraine, the western part of Ukraine, much more inclined towards the West, the EU, they want to join it. And then you've got the question of the eastern side, much more aligned with the Russians. In the mid-90s, you had all of these problems leading to the, quote, Orange Revolution, and the country splits apart. And then you've got good old Putin taking Crimea after the 2014 Olympics. And that's there. And he doesn't want to give that up. And every time the Ukrainians do something with the bridge, you know, between Crimea and Ukraine, it's like World War III is about to erupt. So that question about the Crimean, who's going to possess Crimea? Who's going to possess the Donbass region? All of that stuff seems to be, you know, eligible to be part of some sort of a peace plan, but I don't know. Blinken hasn't said anything about it. So my phone is ringing. Let me turn it off for a minute. So, I mean, Judd, when you look at all of this, the necessity to stop Putin, but on the other hand, as you say, the Ukrainians are not going to prevail. What's your sense of what we should reasonably be trying to do?
Well, as I've said a couple times now, since you and I have been tag teaming each other, you need some assistance with tossing your phone through the window over there.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's okay.
The information I get is I just kind of add it up, because again, it comes through this Marine network from people who really do know what they're talking about. And they've all got their hands pretty firmly around different pieces of this puzzle. But the bottom line for me right now, just in terms of my impression, is Ukraine's not really a nation. It's called a nation, but so was Czechoslovakia. It's not really a nation. It's
right.
All part of the great Balkanized and Balkanizing dynamic that goes on in that part of the world. So the Donbas, I mean, you can just declare, if you're in charge in Ukraine, that that belongs to us. Not really. Not historically, it doesn't. And Ukraine wasn't even a nation until a relatively short period ago.
Yeah.
And I think Zelensky doesn't call any shots at all. I think he's a prop in play acts as the president. I don't think he calls any shots at all. And you look at his bank accounts, the ones that have surfaced, and he's getting rich off this thing too. His lines are written for him. I mean, it's so beyond our capacity, I think. It's beyond our imagination here in the West and in the United States to think our way into that situation. So, I mean, I think the Donbas needs to be, just say, okay, Russia, you already own it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Russians were killed by Ukrainians. And the Azov battalion, they're bad people. They're very bad people. So everything that Putin says about Nazis, it has a pretty strong historical basis to it. It's not nonsense.
But the flip side to that, though, is that after Stalin murdered anywhere from 10 to 12 million people, the only people who could fight against the communists was the SS, who occupied parts of the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I understand completely why they did that. And
I do too, but that's an example of how we can't.
I know, but
think
you can't call
way.
It Nazis, okay? I mean, I know they do, and they were associated with the SS, so they're Nazis. But the contemporary linking of that to today is just propaganda, because the reality is, whether you were a part of the Waffen SS opposing the communists long time ago is irrelevant. It's what the communists did to those people that is the most germane thing to think about, in my view.
No, that's all true, but one doesn't totally eclipse the other.
No, but it explains it, and to link it to Nazi means that the Ukrainians have to just sort of take whatever the Ruskies want to give them. That's my view on that. But
that's what's going to happen anyway, Lou.
That will
happen anyway.
That's true. But the bigger picture that we're trying to kind of fit in here is, okay, do we say that because you've got self-determination of peoples and following that line of thought, what happens when you approach the Baltics? They're in NATO. And they don't want to be controlled by the Ruskies, but In Latvia, I think the percentage is between 25 and 30% of the people speak Russian, just like in the Donbass. So you've got the ingredients for yet another one of these recreation of the Soviet empires, which Putin wants to do. I mean, he said that was the world's worst, you know, the worst thing that ever happened in history was when the Soviet Empire went. Of course, we don't quite think that way, but so you've got that situation where the potential for this is out there, and if Putin thinks he can get away with it, because I'm talking about self-determination of nations or people, then apply that to the Baltic states, and you're going to run the risk that he may very well do what he wants. And so I think that there has to be a line in the sand at some point. I'm just not willing to go to nuclear war over it right now. I don't think we have to have a nuclear Cuban missile crisis over it. But if we're not careful because of who he is, then we will. And if that happens, then what? You don't have to answer that.
No, nobody knows what'll happen.
No.
If nuclear weapons enter into this, no one knows what's going to happen. No one.
Well, all right, so we're just going to let that lie for another week or so and see what happens. Let's see what we can do with, like I said at the beginning, the noose, you know, just getting tighter around good old Uncle Joe's neck. I mean, I hope it happens fast, to be honest with you. But this argument that, you know, somehow the only way you're going to get Joe Biden on what we think is the corruption is that the Democrats have raised the bar so high that unless there's a video of him taking a check, no one's going to believe it. Well, I don't think that that's exactly the case, but I do think that, as Ted Cruz said, this question about bribery is something which is impeachable, okay? Treason, bribery, high crimes and misdemeanors. Okay, so that's there. Well, how do you prove bribery? Well, I think Comer and them have already established that there was something about Burisma, particularly when, not necessarily with Hunter Biden and his association with it, but that association led to the Burisma president, the owner, putting pressure on Hunter to get Uncle Joe, get the big guy involved to stop the investigation of Burisma by the prosecutor Shokin. And once we went down that road, or he went down that road, then what you're ending up with is a situation where, again, according to that FBI 1023, which we've talked about a couple of weeks ago, that 1023 basically has an informant who's saying that Joe Biden took $5 million, Hunter Biden got $5 million for doing what Joe Biden announced on TV, sitting there at the Foreign Affairs, you know, Council's meeting with Richard Haass right there. Someone really needs to ask Richard Haass what he thought about that when Biden did that. But be that as it may, so Biden admits to the fact that he got the guy fired. And as Cruz was talking about, quid pro quo. So here you are. And the argument that Cruz is making is that once you find these bank records that tie all this together, and Congressman Comer has them, he's made public some of them. Once that happens, it seems to me that that noose is really tightening around Biden's neck. So how do you assess what's going on with all this?
Well, I think there are 270 smoking guns, and they're still hot. Each smoking gun is called SARS, not the disease or whatever it was. It's called a banks have this reporting system,
right?
Where it's called a
anything funny coming in,
suspicious activity something report, SARS. Comer was a bank president for years and years and years, and he said, "Let me tell you something. In 20 years or something like that as a bank president, it was a big bank." He said, "You know how many requests we had?"
Maybe two.
He said two. He said, "Do you know how many SARS reports for suspicious activity have been attached just to Joe Biden? 170. And he said, "For the whole Biden family and everybody associated with how this money filters down and around, it's a total of 270. He said, "It's completely unbelievable,
right.
Completely unbelievable."
Right.
And what that report does, it says that a huge amount of money would show up in an account that was opened. It's a shell company,
right?
Which means it doesn't
do anything.
And they've
got 20 of those floating around.
Yeah, it's just a name. Doesn't do anything. It doesn't make anything. It doesn't provide a service. Doesn't do anything. It's just there as a receptacle, and there'll be a little bit of money in it. Time will go by. Years will go by. Maybe there'll be 60,000 bucks in it, I think Comer said. And then all of a sudden, here comes $3 million. All of a sudden, boom, that triggered this suspicious activities report. Someone's got to explain the source and the path of that money. And then it was in there, I think he said, for a day. 24 hours and 2 minutes it stayed in the account. It had to be there for a day.
Yeah.
And then it started being dispersed out to these other shell companies in different places. And he said, and then they go on to other shell companies. He said, where does this come from? Well, it came from China. And they know where it came from because they can track it, you know, via the digital tracks that it leaves.
Except that they weren't allowed to do the digital tracking when they got the phone call that Hunter Biden is telling the Chinese guy, "Look, my father's right here, and you know, you better play ball or you're going to pay the price."
Yeah.
But the whistleblowers, and here again, this gets back to this whole question of, you know, how do you not connect the dots to this if the whistleblowers are telling us that the investigators were prevented from doing anything that are normal protocols, you know, particularly in cases where using GPS data could have proven one way or another. My question is that still available? I mean, that should be there for them to find this out one way or the other. Somebody should be jumping on that right now, you know, you would think. And if the FBI is not going to do it, well, there are a lot of smart hackers out there who could have done this, I would argue. So at any rate, here we are with this, and the next thing we know, you know, we've got Hunter Biden, he's the bag man, Uncle Joe, he's the big guy. It's the Biden brand that's being sold. That's the service that's being provided, and it's the decision making that makes a difference. So Burisma is very easy. There it is. Fire Shokin, get your money. So I don't know. It just seems to me that this is so open and closed how can people not see this? And yet all we get is this is a nothing burger. You know, Schumer saying, well, you know, the Republicans need to be, you know, concentrating on the business of America. No one cares about anything like this.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they'll say.
They dismiss it.
And then ultimately they just say, well, those are your facts and we have our facts and our facts are better. Besides, we're better people than you are and we're smarter people than you are. That's where this goes. It goes
so
down that
shut
rabbit
up
hole.
And do what you're told.
Yeah, shut up and do what you're told. Until we decide, people think I'm exaggerating when I say they're going to kill you. They're not going to just cancel you. They're going to kill you. It may not happen in 3 years, 5 years. It may not happen in 10 years. You are going to be killed because you're one of the 6 billion people who are not necessary for the new world order.
Well, it's just like Bill Gates says, you know, let them eat bugs. I mean, that's what's happening. So, well, to be continued, obviously, we're hoping that that noose gets tighter and tighter. Okay, we'll see what happens. All right, in the last 5 minutes, I want to just talk a little bit about what we were able to find out in terms of our local school system. And I handed out a little piece of paper last night at the school board meeting. Now, and I explained to them that this is just an early look at the ACAP scores. That's the Alabama Comprehensive Assessments, okay? So in math, in 2021, you had 32.9% of the students proficient in math. English language, arts, 57.2%, okay? Next year, in 2022, math was 36, so it went up a little bit. ELA, 56.8, went down a little bit. 2023, math was 37.8, so it went up a little bit. And ELA was 59.3. It went up a little bit. So in the end, you know, what does all this mean? Okay. My argument to them last night was essentially this. We've met with then Dr. Carter, who was the academic director. We've talked to her. I actually put her in touch with a lady who is the math guru that we've been working with for the last 4 years, who is absolutely super when it comes to understanding why Common Core math is wrong. Kathy Miller is her name. Kathy talked to Dr. Carter. They shared some of the things that Kathy and her group in Prattville have been doing to move kids who are having problems with math to a better understanding of it. And one of the things that they did was to go back to normal pre-Common Core math to get the kids sorted out with some basic math to begin with, okay? And they had success with all that, okay? Now, whether or not we're going to do that down here remains to be seen, okay? But as I said to them last night, when you look at the variables that are out there in terms of why math is low, why ELA is where it is too, you can't argue that it's lack of funds, which they always do and they always want more. But the state education budget has come in 3 years in a row with the highest budgets ever. So don't tell me it's money. I looked at our finance director and said, you've got half a billion here. So it's not money here either. So when you get down to the roots of it, what is the real problem? It's Common Core math. Okay? Now, and I said to them, I know, oh, Dr. Lunatic here. I didn't say lunatic, but it's Dr. Lou going crazy about math and Common Core. And it's true. We have been going crazy about it. Because it is the problem. It's the door that opened up all the woke stuff and all the rest of it. And as such, I would argue that the sooner we get rid of Common Core, the better off we are. Lori's substitute is ready to tell me, adios, Dr. Lunatic.
Yep, okay. Dr. Lou, I'm sorry, but it is time.
It is time. It's just when it's getting good.
Yep, yep.
All right, so Judd, thank you for being here. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. America out there listening, you know. And y'all have a great weekend. And Mark, you take care. Good seeing you again here. Adios.
And thank you, Dr. Lou. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. Brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas station on Highway 98 in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash, and by an anonymous sponsor. If you missed part of the show or want to tell a friend, you can listen later at WABFradio.com. And we now resume regular programming.